talking about fun facts. We're gonna look at some fun things today. Our title is Identity in Christ, Chapter 5 of the Believe Study. But what I want to do is, some of us, when we look around and we see all the people that are in the world, we think, well, who am I? So I wanted to throw some numbers at you. I wanted to just kind of, I did some research this week, and this is the most current, up-to-date information that you can find on the internet. And this is one source. Maybe you've heard different numbers, but that's okay, But anyway, I just kind of wanted to look at the populations of areas around this. First of all, I started with Colfax. And so the population of Colfax is, of course, 2,880. It has been that way for almost 21 years. Because when I drove into Colfax, the first take my position here as senior pastor, the sign out there said 2,880 people, and this town is to be commended for 21 years. We have not grown and we have not decreased. Although at one point in time, the sign out there kind of lost some of the middle part of the 8, so it looked like a 3. So it was 2,830, but they corrected it and made it, anyway. And I'm imagining when I die, the people who come into this town will look at that sign and say, oh, look at that. Colfax has a population of 2,880. Of course, minus one, maybe. I don't know. But that's a population. And for some of you, you might say, hey, I'm pretty important in Colfax. People in Colfax know who I am. And I can say that. I can say people in Colfax know who I am. They knew who I was before I started working here. I don't know how that happened. But news gets around fast in this town. I remember walking into Rosar's and everyone sitting in the food court. And then I looked at them and they back down again. So they knew we were here. Although very few of them know that I have a first name, they think it's Pastor May. My first name is Richard. You guys know that. Of course, I changed it to Rich because Richard doesn't sound good. So, we might be pretty big here, but okay, let's take a step out. Let's go to Whitman County. The population of Whitman County, and this was as of 2017 because no one cares to count, this is a little old statistics, is 4,946. What did I say? Now, I'm dyslexic, so anyway, 49,046. Almost 50,000, a little shy of 50,000. In Whitman County, I'm pretty popular here. Well, not I say popular, I'm known here. If I go to Pullman and I drop my name, this is kind of like, who are you? I'm really, my identity has kind of gotten lost when I go to Pullman. And, so I don't go there very often. I'm staying in town where I'm known. I don't know if how many of that is college students. I don't know if they figure that into the population or not. But college students, they could care less who I am. So let's move it out a little bit longer because some of you might be well known in Whitman County. Clouse River Rock, they're known well in Whitman County. And of course, Ben, who's running it, Justin, and Alan, and some of you farmers, you make enough noise that people know you're here in Whitman County and all that kind of stuff. So, but let's move it out another step. Let's go to the state of Washington. How big is the state of Washington? 7.54 million people in this state. I was kind of shocked about that, trying to figure out where they're all at. But then if you go to the west side, you figure out where they're all at. Because basically, it's a city from Olympia to Bellingham. projects. It's almost all city in through there. So, boy, when you get to that number, and you go to the west side, unless you drop my name in my son's house, no one's going to know who I am. My identity is gone. Okay, step it out a little bit more. Let's go to what's the population of the United States. Okay, 329.45 million people. You know, that's the population of the United States. Not that big, really, when you think about it. Especially when you look at the next number, which is the population of the world. The population of the world is just basically 7.7 billion people. That's a lot of people. And when you think that on this earth there are 7.7 billion people, unless you're Bill Gates or someone like that, you have no identity in this world. It can be very depressing. It can be very discouraging. Who am I on this earth among 7.7 billion people? I'm just a bit of sand. Just one speck of sand on a whole beach. So that's kind of a depressing thought, that I'm really a nobody. At least that's what a lot of people feel, is that they're a nobody, because they're just one in a billion. Just one in a billion. And that's discouraging and depressing. But I don't want you to be discouraged or depressing, because for those who know Jesus Christ, we are not just one in a billion. We are special. Now, we are not special on our own. We are not special because of our heritage. We are not special because of our position. We are not special because of our prestige, or our money, or our position in life. That is not what makes us special. What makes us special is what we just observed, Jesus Christ, and what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so when we stop and think about, you know, who we are, what is my identity? You know, in this state, I'm just one in 200 million. In this world, I'm one in 7.7 billion. That's insignificant. But in God's eyes, I am not insignificant. In God's eyes, I am special, and so is everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So what we're going to look at, here's our key verse. Our key verse this morning is John 1:12. John 1:12. So can we get that up there, Mark? Okay, because I want you to read this with me. And I do want to challenge you, for those who are willing to do that, Melissa and I are going to talk about this. We are going to try to memorize the key verses for the study of belief. And I'd like to challenge you to memorize it with us. And I think it would be a cool thing, because they're key verses. They're important. They're key verses in our belief system. So anyway, read this one with me. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God." That is a tremendous verse, and it gets us started in who we are in Christ, who our identity is in Christ. Now, in your notes, I just simply went and said, who are, you know, we are what? Okay, well, we look at this verse, and we learn that we are children of God. Children of God. Now, there are some people say, well, What's so special about that? Aren't all people children of God? Now, you will hear that. Especially you will hear that in the United States among people who believe that there is a God. They'll say, oh, well, we're all God's children. All humanity is God's children. That's not biblically correct. We are all God's creation. All humanity is God's creation. Absolutely. All 7.7 billion people in this world are God's creation, but they are not all God's children. Because John qualifies what a child of God is in this verse. First of all, he says, to all who received him. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. To all who receive Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. And then in 13, he clarifies it a little bit. In verse 13, he says, children born not of natural descent, or of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. See, there's a distinction here. It's not someone who is just naturally born. You are not naturally born into God's family. You are naturally born into God's creation, but not into his family. You need to receive Jesus Christ to be part of God's family. But when you do receive him, you are children of God. In John 3, 5 and 6, well-known passage. We read Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He goes, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to spirit. See, there, Jesus makes a clear distinction to Nicodemus. It's like, yeah, everyone's born. They're born of flesh. They're born again, like John talked about, of human descent. But the ones who are God's are the ones who are born again, born of the Spirit. The ones who have received Jesus Christ and have received the Spirit of God that lives in us. 1 John 3:1, and I love this verse. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. But this is something that we can draw out of this verse, is that we are loved. We are loved. We are loved by God. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. So you're not insignificant. You're a child of the Almighty God. That makes you very, very special in this world. The world is not going to understand that. The world is not going to recognize that because it doesn't recognize God anymore. But in God's eyes, you are very special. And as children of God, that also makes us heirs of God. Heirs of God. Now, in my family, my mom and dad had three boys. I was the youngest of three. And when my parents passed away about 10 years ago now, they had not a big estate, but they had some money. And so, and they left a will, and we are the heirs of that will. The three brothers are the heirs of that will. And so we received the blessings, and I call them blessings from my parents, that they were able to give us something from their lives and to help us along our way and that type of thing. I've already told my kids, you're heirs, but that means that you get to pay for my funeral because there's probably not going to be anything there. But that's okay. That's okay. So then they ask, well, how cheap is cremation? So anyway, yes, we break up. Anyway, but we are heirs. Go to Paul wrote in Romans 8, 16 and 17. He says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Here we hear that again. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glories. We're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Wow. That makes us special. That makes us different. Again, not that it is from us because we are so special, because we are so different. It's because what God has done for us, that he has made us children of God and joint heirs. So everything that Jesus Christ is going to receive, we are going to receive. Now, one of the things I do want to point out here is that this says we are going to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It does not say that we are going to be Jesus Christ or God's. Some people think that what we are going to, because if we're going to be children of God, then it means we're going to be a God when we're done with this world. And there's some people who think they're God before they leave this world. That's not true. We're going to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, but he is God, and we are his creation, and we need to always keep that. But we're still going to have all the blessings that come to Jesus Christ as going to be ours as heirs. James his book in chapter 2, verse 5 says, listen, my dear children, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? See, if we love him, we are promised an inheritance. If we know Jesus Christ, our inheritance is sure. And when we get to that time of inheritance, I guarantee you there will be something there for us to inherit. And it will be great and it will be magnificent. And we are all going to be so tremendously blessed. So we are children of God. That's who we are in Jesus Christ. We are heirs of God's kingdom, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But then we come to a verse, just one more verse we're going to look at. And it's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9, just verse 9 is what we're going to look at. At first I was going to look at 9 and 10, but I'm just going to look at verse 9. And in this passage of scripture, it gives us three things that we are in Jesus Christ. The first thing, let me read it for you, and then we can come to it. It's pretty obvious. It says, but you are, and he's talking to believers here, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging, there's four things, sorry, I can't count, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. You are a chosen people. God chose you. Now, when I was younger, I was big and kind of slow and not real coordinated. And so at recess, when you would go out, and you'd play all those games, you know, and you kind of line up and you get the two jock athletes that go out there and they say, okay, we're going to pick our team. Yeah, I guess it was always the last one to be picked. Especially in dodgeball. I didn't dodge very well. I couldn't throw with a darn. And quite frankly, I was a humongous target. So I was always the last one picked, always the last one chosen. I'm thinking, is it worth it? Maybe I should just stay inside and read a book. And I hated reading. So you know how discouraged that I was about this. But it's not that way anymore. God chose me. I was chosen by God to be His people. Then the next thing that he says in that verse is that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Well, that's kind of interesting. I thought in order to be a priest, you had to be a Levite. Levites were priests. How can I be part of a royal priesthood? Well, and what does it even mean to be a royal priesthood? Well, you know, one thing about the priests, one of their duties was that they could come to God and offer the sacrifice. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and removed our sins from us, we don't any longer need to go through the priest, except for the great high priest, which is Jesus Christ. But we do not have to go to anyone for the forgiveness of our sins. You don't have to come and talk to Steve, Dean, or myself if you've sinned. Now, if you want to, that's fine. You can. But you can go directly to God and pray to Him yourself. Because when Jesus Christ died, the curtain was open. The way was made clear to Jesus Christ. And so all of us have the standing of a royal priesthood. We can all now freely come to the Lord. The next thing that he says is that we are a holy nation. The children of God are a holy nation. Now, we certainly aren't holy in ourselves. Obviously, we are not. We don't have that standing. That is not something that is within us to be holy. We are holy because Jesus Christ was holy. And through his death and resurrection, he made us a holy people. Now, when we think about that, that means we need to live our lives as a holy person, as someone who is striving to please God. Yeah? We're going to blow it. I do. And I'm assuming you guys are somewhat similar to me. I hope that's not a bad thing to say, but I blew it. But the thing that is so wonderful about God's grace, about His love, is even though I blow it, He still loves me. He still loves me. And because of what Jesus Christ did, I can, as a royal priest, come to Him and say, Father, forgive me for I sinned. And He will put you back into the status that you were to begin with. We are a holy people. And then this is something that I think we really need to hang on to, this last thing. A people belonging to God. A people belonging to God. Now, the Greek word in there that, and I tried to figure it all out, but it's Greek to me. It means peculiar. We are a peculiar people. Now, that doesn't mean odd. The world would say, yeah, they are peculiar, those Christians. They are an odd bunch. But that is not what the Greek meaning of this word is. It means we are special. We are different. We are God's possession. Now, you know, there would be, of course, in the world, there would be, I am no one's possession. I am my own man. Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. I would rather be God's possession than be my own man. Because if I'm my own man, all I have is what I have in this life. And when I die, it's gone. But when I am God's possession, then I get everything that God has. He loves me so much that He made me His. You know, I'm special. He chose me. He bought me for a price. He made me his child. All these things I'm telling you to encourage you. The world is going to tear you down. The world is going to say, well, you're insignificant because one thing you haven't invented anything that's made you $1 billion. You're of no consequence to this. Hardly anyone in here is talented enough to be well known in athletics. Although I do have to brag, actually, just take a second. It's good news and bad news. My great niece, Riley, Traeger. And if that name sounds familiar, yes, it's the Traeger family that developed Traeger grills. So anyway, I'm married, indeed. I didn't marry, but anyway. So anyway, Riley is a senior in high school this year. She is 6'1". Something like that. Anyway, she holds the state record in the javelin in Oregon, and she has just been accepted to the University of Oregon. She's got a full right to the track, you know. And it's like, wow, you know, I mean, it's really hard to see her. She's dressed in this Oregon outfit, green. You know, and I'm supposed to put on her Facebook page, congratulations, Riley, you picked the wrong school. No, I mean, actually, there is no choice. Oregon State didn't have a track team for a long time, so it's really, you know, and so it's really special, you know, but I don't know if she'll actually ever do anything there. And even if she does, who's going to remember her? You know, I mean, it's something, fame is fleeting. Fame is fleeting. I mean, I can mention people that were famous when I was a kid. And you know what most of you would say? Who? Who? You know? I mean, Wilt Chamberlain. Most of you remember that, right? Wilt Chamberlain? Kids? Wilt Chamberlain? Bill Russell? LaRue Martin? Well, no one remembers LaRue Martin. He played center for the Trailblazers. So anyway, you know, what is it? Bill Walton. Of course, that name is still around. Yeah. So it's fleeting. But when we are part of God's family, we are special. You are special. It doesn't make any difference what you do, how much money you make, what your name is, what your lineage is, what your past has been. When you come to Jesus Christ, you are a unique, a peculiar person in that you become a child of God. And that's what we are. Children of God. And don't ever forget that. Because none of God's children are unimportant. They are all special to Him. Each one of us is special to God. You are a special person. Not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God who created the world, you are a special person. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You made us a peculiar person. A person who is special. Who is Yours, and who will always be Yours. Father, in this world we might not be known at all, but in Your kingdom we are Your precious children. Each one of us a child that You know our name and You love us. Thank You so much, Lord, for giving us a new identity. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.